Well, there's an old gospel hymn that says, "Time is filled with swift transition. Naught, namely nothing of this earth unmoved can stand. So build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand." And that's the theme of the homily today. And it's a youth Sunday, and so I have to try to relate this. But I want to say to you that one of the things that we're talking about at this time of the church's year may be a little bit harder for young people to understand or grasp or experience. And it's about what we call the four last things, and their death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And it's hard, I think, when you're young, to think that there's ever going to come a day when you'll have to leave this earth. You think you'll live forever. But the Lord is trying to teach us today, and I also have to talk to the adults, so I hope you help me work with them a little, because some of us are getting a little closer to that day. Some of us have less years in front of us than we already have behind us, all right? Amen? You know, well, I'm starting to get there, all right? Getting close to 50 now, all right? But you know, this gospel starts out with them in front of the temple. And brothers and sisters, the temple in Jerusalem, which is no longer standing, it's gone now, was one of the great wonders of the ancient world. It was a beautiful building. Imagine, young people, a building twice as tall as this. And it has white marble and trimmed in gold. And you could see it from miles away up on the mountaintop. And it gleamed. And people came from all over Israel to that temple. And it was a beautiful building. Ours is a beautiful building too, isn't it? And what happens is, though, that they were admiring, they were saying, "Lord, what a beautiful temple and what a beautiful building." And the Lord says, "You know what? There's going to be a day when not one stone will be left on another. It's all going to be thrown down. It's all going to be thrown down." Now, the Lord was talking, brothers and sisters, about something particular, but we can also relate it to our life. The Lord was prophesying that a great war was coming. When the Lord said this gospel that we have today, and some of us were there on cross on the Mount of Olives, it's called the Mount Olivet Discourse, and some of us went to the Holy Land, and we were actually in that cove or that area overlooking Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives where the Lord gave this talk. And he said it was about 30 AD when he gave the talk. And within 40 years, a terrible, terrible war broke out between the Jewish people and the Romans. And the Lord knew that war clouds were coming. There was a political party in Israel known as the Zealot Party. And the Zealots were already beginning to build and beginning to agitate that we should overthrow these Romans and reestablish the kingdom of David. And the Lord warned about that war. And he told his Christian disciples to have nothing to do with this war. See, the Lord's plan wasn't to hate the Romans. Church, the Lord's plan was to love them and convert them. Hello? Little different idea, huh? Instead of killing our enemy, let's convert them, right? But the Lord had warned about this war, and he told his disciples to have nothing to do with this war. And as it said, and some of the historians say, that the Christians did follow Jesus' message, and they didn't get involved in this war, and they fled when the war began, and they waited it out in a city called Pella in the Transjordan, not too far away, but outside of Israel. Anyway, the Lord is telling about a terrible war that's going to come, and it will destroy the city of Jerusalem, and the whole temple and all those beautiful buildings will be completely knocked down. Knocked down. And sure enough, by 70 AD, That's exactly what happened. In April of 70 AD, Jerusalem was completely destroyed. A war broke out in the year 66, in that summer, and it lasted 3.5 years. And listen, church, young people, listen to this number. Listen. Lakeisha, are you going to listen? Listen to this number. 1.2 million Jewish people lost their lives in this war. Now remember, the world population wasn't like it is today. That was a terrible, bloody war, and over a million people lost their lives. Are you praying with me? The Lord said, some bad stuff's coming. Some bad stuff. Now that's what the Lord was talking about. And that's a nice little history lesson, but what about us? What does a gospel like this have to do with us? Well, church, we might suffer war. We're in one now. I don't know if you saw that picture on the cover of the Post 2 days ago of the quadruple amputee, the young man who's lost all 4 limbs in an explosion over in Afghanistan. He's a real hero, and he's really struggling to, you know, regain some sort of, you know, they're fitting him with all kinds of things. But some of our brothers and sisters right now are enduring war, terrible war. But even if we are not personally involved in this war, we have to look around in our life and understand that the first lesson the Lord wants to teach us through this illustration of the temple is that everything we see in our life, every fixture, every beautiful thing, and every difficult thing, it's all going to pass away. Nothing in this world remains. Nothing is permanent here. And it's not just about buildings. This is a beautiful building, isn't it? And I hope it'll be here many, many decades and then centuries into the future. But all I know is there's going to be a day when even this building will be gone, and all of us will be gone. And it's not just about buildings. It's about all the things in our life. We'll talk more about it in a minute, but we've all buried loved ones. We've all had loss. Some of us have lost jobs, lost loved ones. Some of us have struggled, had to move from place to place. We know that this world is a transitory place. The Bible says we have here no lasting city. The Bible says that the form of this world is passing away. And that's what the Lord is, first of all, teaching. That everything we think is beautiful and fixed and will stay forever is not. It's just a moment in time. That may cause us grief, but you know, I got news for you. Anyone got some troubles right now? It's the same thing is true about trouble, isn't it? I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Come on, church. I'm glad that trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come with the morning light. And so again, church, we've got to begin to understand the first thing the Lord is asking us to think about is that this world is passing away. And we need to therefore set our sights on a world that does not pass away. I hope you're like me. Are you on your way to heaven? Young people say, I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm so glad. The world can't do me no harm. Oh, church, I hope you're on to that everlasting city that we call heaven, because there's nothing everlasting down here. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Better build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Now, the next thing the Lord does is he says, I want you therefore to know that it's not about here. You're going somewhere. It's called the promised land of heaven. And you're going to a place where there's a kingdom that lasts forever, where there are joys that never go away, where there is a city that will last forever. It's not down here, it's up there. And you got to a pilgrimage, a passage to make through this world that is passing away. Now, the Lord then tells us, if you got this journey to make, there are four things that I want you to be aware of, I want you to be careful about. Because, church, I want to go to heaven. The Lord says, all right, Charles, you got a journey to make. And I want you to be aware of four possible perils on the passage to the promised land. Four possible perils on the passage to the promised land. Lots of P's in that sentence. You know your pastor loves alliteration, right? And here they are. The first one is what we'll call false messiahs. Listen, pay attention, church. Pay attention. The Lord says here, on your journey to the city that lasts forever, he says, pay attention. See that you are not deceived. Many will come in my name and say, I'm he. Do not listen to them. Do not follow them. Young people, there's a lot of people out there that want your attention. They want your loyalty. They want you to sign up and be like them. And they are not of God. There are things that are being said to you in the entertainment media. There are things that are on television. There are things that are on the internet that are not the mind of God. Parents, I hope that you are in the habit of watching or knowing what these children are watching and listening to. There just comes a time when a parent has to walk into a living room and when they see garbage on the TV and they have to turn it off and say to their children, my children, this is not the mind of God. False messiahs, false promises of happiness, a completely false understanding of the purpose and the meaning of our life is constantly being presented, not only to the young people, but to all of us. And we have to be sober about that. There are people who want our loyalty. There are people that want us to base our life on their philosophies, buy their products, think like they think. And they are not of God necessarily. We've got to be discerning. There are many false messiahs. And we hear what the Lord says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do you and I analyze everything by the Word of God and by the teachings of the church? You know, look, some of the things that our young people are watching, a typical sitcom, don't even let them watch it. But a typical sitcom features stupid, dopey, idiotic parents and kids who are running around like a bunch of wiseacres, not respecting their elders. I want you to know, church, that is not the mind of God. God says, honor your father and your mother. God says we're to respect our elders. Did you hear that, young people? All this goofing off you see on the TV where kids are up in adults' faces and telling them what way it's supposed to be, that is not the mind of God. There's a lot of promiscuous sexual activity and all kinds of crazy portrayals of human sexuality. And unfortunately, our young people are exposed to this. And God has a plan for our sexuality. One man for one woman, till death do them part in the sacrament of holy matrimony. That's the only place for legitimate and lawful sexual expression. But too many of the sitcoms they show, lots of teenagers engaging in things they have no business engaging in, and all kinds of aberrant and confused situations and broken up families, and this is not the mind of God. Do not be deceived, says the Lord. There are false philosophies. There are false teachings. There are false prophets. Do not be deceived. Be very careful what you listen to. and ask yourself some questions. Is what I'm looking at the mind of God? Would it conform to what God teaches in the Bible? Ask these questions. The Lord is warning us. Satan wants our mind, and he wants our heart. He wants our loyalty. And I've got news for you. If you think there's some cool hip-hop artist or someone who's out there and can show you the way, some basketball star, some movie star, I want you to know, not a single one of them died for you. Only Jesus Christ died for you and for us. There is only one true Messiah. There is only one true source of truth. And that is Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel. So the first peril on the passage to the promised land that the Lord warns us about is false messiahs. False messiahs. Now, the next thing he warns us about is what I'm just going to call, because I love alliteration, we go from false messiah to fierce militarism. Here's what the Lord says. You will hear of wars and insurrections. Uprisings, in other words. Do not be terrified. These things happen, but it will not immediately be the end. He said to them, nation is going to rise against nation. Now again, historically, that's exactly what he was talking about. He's saying a terrible war is coming. Don't be terrified of it. Have nothing to do with it. And wait it out. It will end. But the world as you know it is passing away. Because of this war. All right, that was then. How about now? Well, let's just make it personal. Anyone got some battles in your life? Anyone had some struggles? Anyone have some spiritual warfare that you're going through? Anyone have to battle some demons? Maybe it's a demon of sin, of temptation. Maybe it's addiction. Anyone here had to battle folks who come to you and try to discourage you, mislead you? Anyone here had to fight for your physical health? Had to just realize that life has its struggles? And the Lord is just saying, I want you to know something. On your perilous passage to the promised land, you're going to have some battles to fight. And not just those personal battles. You're going to need to stand up from time to time and fight for what is right. Because the world in which we live is unjust. The world needs good warriors for justice who fight with love, but who fight, who are willing to struggle for what is right, and what is decent, and what is virtuous. So we fight with those battles within us. Struggles against sin and temptation, and we also fight outside of us for what is right, what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. And so it is, we all have these battles. Now, I'm afraid that a lot of Christians have kind of lost a sense of battle today. You know, we even went through a period in the 70s where they started tearing out some of those old hymns, you know, that had military themes. Like Onward Christian Soldiers and Battle Hymn of the Republic. You know, oh, we don't want military images in our worship. Well, you know, I'm not talking about tanks. I'm not talking about nuclear arms. I'm talking to you about spiritual warfare. And that's what those songs are talking about. Brothers and sisters, I got some songs in mind right now that talk to us about the battle that we're in. I got one song here that says, I'm on the battlefield with my Lord, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Say, I'm on the battlefield with my Lord. Young folks, come on, join me for a minute. I'm on the battlefield with my Lord. Just say that. They don't sound very enthusiastic about being there, but they're on the battlefield. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. See, I'm on the battlefield with my Lord. That's right. Another old song says, simply says, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Another song says, I've seen lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus. He bid me still to fight on. He promised never, never, no, never to leave me alone. I'm mindful of that old battle hymn, that old battle hymn of the Republic. I've seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They've builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. Church, his truth is marching on. Hallelujah. See, we've got to have a sense of the battle. Satan wants our children. Fight for them. Satan wants my soul. He wants to go out and conquer and bring people away from Jesus Christ. Let's fight for them. We've been knocking on doors as a way to fight. Fight for souls, for Jesus Christ. He's looking for a few good warriors who are up for a battle, because this world is hostile. And Satan, the world, the flesh, the devil are a triple enemy that we face. And the Lord says, are you ready for a battle? An old saying says, if you find a good fight, get in it. And this is a good fight, to fight for these young people, to make sure that Satan doesn't get them. Watch what they're listening to. Listen to what they're listening to. Look at what they're reading. Even in the public schools, lots of garbage in will bring garbage out. We've got to be careful. Our young people need to be fought for. We need to fight for them. So we see false messiahs, a fearful militarism, that the Lord says, you're going to have battles. I hope you're up for a fight. And the third thing the Lord talks about are far-flung marvels. He says here, there's going to be earthquakes and famines and plagues from place to place and awesome sights and mighty signs in the sky. And here again, historically, we see that at the time of Jesus and at the time of the Jewish war, a lot of earthquakes were happening in and around Israel at that time. Most of us don't know this because during our lifetime, it's been seismically quiet in the Holy Land. But it's a very earthquake-prone region. You know, some of us went down to the Dead Sea. Some of us have been there, and that's like 1,400 feet below sea level. You drive all the way down to the lowest point on Earth. You know why it's there? Two plates are pulling apart. A great rift in the earth is there. And lots of earthquakes. You remember when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? There was an earthquake. And it was so powerful that many of the tombs of the dead opened up. And the dead were seen walking around. A powerful earthquake. And so it is that at the time of Jesus, many earthquakes were happening. And as that Jewish war got ever closer, lots of big earthquakes, mighty earthquakes began to shake. So much did they shake that the temple itself was set off level. And there were wonderful signs in the sky. Scientists say that at that time, around 70 AD, a comet went by. Josephus, the historian, says there were great lights in the sky around Jerusalem, probably an aurora borealis that went south. Lots of lights in the middle of the nighttime sky over Jerusalem. So historically, these things actually happen. But that was then. How about for us? Earthquakes. Anyone have an earthquake in your life? Anyone ever feel the earth move under your feet? Anyone feel the sky come tumbling down? Now, I know that song's about being in love or something like that, amen? But we've all felt the earthquakes of this life, haven't we? The ground that we thought was stable, that we could stand on, shifted under our feet. Maybe it was the loss of a job. Maybe a sudden change in our health. Maybe it was the death of a loved one, a spouse, or even a child. Maybe it was, I remember in the last 10 years, I buried both my parents. When I was a child, I thought that They were the whole center of my life. And now they're gone. Some of us have had earthquakes in our life. Sudden changes. Sudden shifts. Some of us have struggled to find our way because the earth keeps moving under our feet. And that's why you better have a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. Because the Lord says this world is shifting. This world is shake, rattling, and rolling. This world is unpredictable. There's all kinds of shifts that go on around us. Look how much politics have shifted in the last few years, even the last few days. Anyone from PG County? Hello. 2 years ago, a major shift in the politics and a major shift back. You just can't predict this world. The world shifts all around us. And so it is, the Lord says, just understand, this world is shaky. This world is not your foundation. I have to be your foundation. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. And then the fourth thing the Lord says, and I'll start to wrap it up, I promise, young people. Now, I know that you've never felt the earth move under your feet. Yes, you have. How many of you had to go from eighth grade to high school? Now, that's a pretty major shift, isn't it? You go from being on top to being at the bottom. I went from being a big eighth grader, tallest kid in the school, to going to high school, and they tried to sell me an elevator pass. There wasn't an elevator. All right. The final thing, though, that the Lord says are the four things to be aware of on this journey, this perilous passage. We've seen about false messiahs. We've heard that we have battles to fight. Fierce militarism. We just saw again that we have this far-flung marvels. The earth shaking under our feet. The final one is, it simply says here, fearful malice. The Lord says that part of what you need to expect on your Christian journey is that some folks are going to hate you. Some folks are going to persecute you. Some folks are going to misunderstand you, malign you. Some folks are going to think you're just plain crazy for being a Christian. Now, we haven't had to endure a lot of martyrdom in our Western world because it's primarily a Christian world. But I know of some brothers and sisters in places like Darfur and the Sudan and where they're dying for their faith. Blood is being shed. They're being uprooted. There's a terrible conflict going on between the Muslim government and the Christians who live in that region. They're being uprooted, put into refugee camps. Some are being killed. Some are suffering for their faith. Some of our brothers and sisters have a mighty high price to pay for their faith. We have it easy. But even in our culture, it's getting more hostile. As our secular Western world becomes much more secular and hostile, the traditional biblical faith is becoming increasingly moved to the margins. It is increasingly coming under attack. And we will have more to suffer, I am sure, in the years that come. I know there's a lot more hatred of Christianity than when I was a child. So we may have more to suffer. But the Lord simply says, I want you to know something. In your passage to the promised land, you can expect some persecution. Now, all four of these things may give us a little bit of anxiety. But I just want you to read the last, I don't know, just read the last line of the gospel and wrap it up. By your perseverance, you will save your life. Hallelujah, church. The Lord says, you're going to pass through some rough terrain, but I want you to know something. I want you to have confidence. I've overcome the world. I've overcome. I'm in heaven and I'm drawing you to myself. There are difficulties you're going to face. You're going to confront false messiahs. You're going to have battles to fight. You're going to sometimes feel the earth move under your feet, and you're going to experience persecution, but I want you to have confidence. I've overcome the world. There's an old song that comes to mind, similar to the one I just quoted. Simply says, hold on, just a little while longer. Everything's gonna be all right. Another song says, troubles don't last always. Another song says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come with the morning light. I'm on my way to heaven, church, and I'm so glad. There may be difficulties on the way, but I know where I'm going. And I know that Jesus has promised me at the end of this long struggle, this pilgrimage, this perilous passage to the promised land, I know there is glory waiting. Glory waiting. Oh, I have a lot of songs that just come to mind to conclude on here. You know, it's all those hold on songs, you know? Those songs that just keep saying to us to hold on. One says, as I said, hold on just a little while longer. Everything is going to be all right. Another song says, I promised the Lord that I would hold out. Said he'd meet me in the Galilee of heaven. Amen? I promised the Lord. I'll hold out. He said he'll meet me in Galilee. Another song says, Lord, help me to hold out until my change comes. Another song says, hold on. Keep your hand on the plow and hold on. Nora, Nora, can I come in? Doors are fastened and the windows pinned, but hold on. Hold on. Keep your hand on the plow. Can't plow straight, you keep looking back. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize and keep realizing we are going onward and upward to Jesus. The road may be narrow, the road may be difficult, but we're going somewhere with all this, church. Young people, I want to promise you complete and total victory. I promise it to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will base your life on what the Lord has given you, I promise you complete and total victory. I didn't say you won't have struggles. I didn't say you won't have some battles. I didn't say that the world will shake you up a little bit, but I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, complete and total victory. That's a promise we can stand on. That's a promise that can't be shaken. The world may shake, but the promises of Jesus that I am standing on never shake. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen.